Nexus Church is all about cultivating an authentic Christian community where old and young alike journey with Jesus and are transformed by the gospel. May we be challenged and inspired by the power of His Word.
Fantastic. Why don't we put our hands on our hearts this evening? And I want us to pray a prayer which for me has been an anthem of my heart. It's been something that I just continually want to posture my heart in praying this. Say, Father, speak to my heart and change my life. Father, we just welcome the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come. Lord, and unlock to us your heart. Unlock to us, Father God, every intention that you have for us tonight. Father, I declare freedoms in this house. Lord, healings in this house. Lord, I thank you that, Father, you love us where we're at, but you love us too much to leave us there. So, Lord, we take you by the hand as you take us by the heart. And, Lord, we step into everything that you have for us tonight in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's take our seats. Guys, it's such an honor to be with you tonight. And I do. I love this house. I love what God is doing, what God is building. And how many people know that whenever God does something, he wants to not just do it through us, he wants to do it with us first. That we can't give what we haven't got. And I'm just so thankful that we are people who purpose in our hearts to always be open to the things of God, always open to what he's wanting to say, what he's wanting to do. And my prayer tonight is that we would not just land into a place of encounter, but also as well that God would give us tools and he would give us truth tonight that we can apply to bring transformation to our heart. I want to encourage you, friends, that we're not here to be perfect, we're here to be purposeful. And the reason we come together is because God wants to do something with us all, amen? And so we haven't come just to spectate, we've come to participate. And my prayer tonight is our participation is so key. But I want to tell you something to friends. God doesn't need your participation. He just needs your consent. Do we consent to God impacting our hearts tonight? Yeah? Can we give God our consent? Can we say, Father, whatever you want to do, just do it in me. Amen? If you got your Bibles, I'd love you to turn to 2 Corinthians 9. We're not doing an offering message. A lot of times when people turn to 2 Corinthians 9, it's about God loving a cheerful giver. I don't just want to be a cheerful giver. I want to be an ecstatically cheerful giver, amen? I want finance to get so funny in my world that it's something that I can be cheerful. But friends, I'm fascinated by the all of God. I'm fascinated by God's all for me. Not just God's sacrifice, God's heart, but God's all. And it's incredible in Scripture, you read these verses that talk about God's all. And this is one of the ones that just blows me away and I'm still unpacking in my world, which is 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able. How many people know God is able? Man, I feel like I'm in the south of America. Whenever I say God is able, I feel like I need an organ behind me. Amen? God is able. And God is able. I'm Welsh, by the way. I'm not, you know, African-American. And so God is able. Amen? God is able to make some grace abound towards me. Is that what it says? No. All grace. And God is able to make all grace abound towards us, that you having some sufficiency. Is that what it says? No. What Bible? What version am I reading out of tonight? I'm sorry, I must have got the JW Bible, sorry. That you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. And God is able to make all. He is able to make all, not some, all. He's able to make all grace abound to us in all things. That us having all sufficiency. Friends, when God says all, he doesn't mean some. And I think a lot of times when we think about God, we think, well, God, you didn't really promise the all. No. When God says I'm all in, God says I'm all in. I'm not just going to give you some. I'm not just going to deal with some of your life. I'm going to deal with all of your life. I'm not just going to speak to some of you. I'm going to speak to all of you. And so God is not an exclusive God. God is an inclusive God. Amen? He doesn't exclude us. He includes us. And so right from here, right to the back, from side to side, God doesn't exclude. He includes. The danger comes is I create narratives in my mind of exclusion when God never has. I create thoughts and patterns within my world that changes scripture so it fits my narrative of pain instead of fitting my narrative of purpose. Am I speaking to somebody? And God is able to make all. Therefore, if God is all in, friends, I need to be all in. If God is all in about me, I have to be all in about him. You see, we love all these verses. Philippians 4:13, I can do some things through Christ who strengthens me. No. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If I can do all things through Christ, Christ can do all things through me. We love other verses like Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God and are called according to his purposes. And so we love these verses, these all verses. And I'll throw another one out there, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or imagine according to the power that works in us. And so it's incredible. We turn into Pentecostal cheerleaders when it comes to our success, when it comes to our purpose, when it comes to everything. We have these cliche verses. Friend, and you're my heart tonight. I love these verses. I absolutely champion these verses. But friends, just like lobster, just like steak, just like, you know, all the rich foods, you can't live on that. Am I speaking to somebody? I call it sugar gospel. Can I speak to someone tonight? We can't live in a sugar world. And I think sometimes we take scripture and we apply it like sugar instead of bringing it like steak. It gives us the high, but it doesn't bring nutrients. Am I speaking to somebody? And so I wonder tonight, how many of us in this room have created scripture around a success instead of anchoring scripture into our struggle? Let me try this side. You see, it's amazing. We love all these verses. We love to learn all these verses. I tell you, I am probably the most charismaniac in the room. Amen? I've got the t-shirt, I've got the books, I've got the pom-pom, I've got them all. I love that. I love being Pentecostal. I love that aspect of my heritage. But friends, you can't live on sugar. Am I speaking to somebody? You can't live in that place. You've got to come to a realization that the gospel is as much about resurrection as it is about the Garden of Gethsemane. It's about the struggle, the cross, and the resurrection. And you can't have a resurrection unless you got a death. And I think sometimes within the body of Christ is we don't talk about the struggle, we just want to talk about the resurrection. But we'll never be able to bring people to resurrection unless we validate a death. We'll never have to bring people to a healing unless we validate a sickness. Because you don't need a healer if you're well. I've never been to a hospital and seen someone walk around just doing a day visit because they're thinking they're in a museum. Hey, what are you doing here? Oh, I just thought I'd look around. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Absolutely. 100%. What are you doing here? Oh, I just thought I'd come and visit. No. Well people don't visit hospitals. Then why do you think perfect people come to church? Can I say it again? Well, people don't go to hospitals, then why do we think perfect people have to come to church? Yeah? And so we have all these verses lined up. And friends, I am the chief amongst us all tonight. I have these verses lined up. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is able to do all things. But then I have to come and look at these incredible all verses that don't just talk about God's all, they talk about mine. And God's invitation of coming to a place of, if he's going to bring his all, I've got to bring mine. And so we have Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. You see, it's amazing. To live a fruitful life, you've got to live a seed-sowing life. Let me say it again. If you're going to see the fruit, you've got to sow the seed. And I think a lot of times we want to say, oh my God, I want everything to be added. The question is, are you sowing the seed of seeking first his kingdom? Yeah? Because when we seek first, you see, it's that place of not just being a priority, but it's the first thing I do. I'm seeking first his kingdom. Not what's added, but first. And this is something like I have been so intentional in my life of not just seeking first the kingdom, but seeking first the king. Because you can seek first a kingdom without a king. And so you seek what he does for you instead of who he is for you. And a king that is absent of a kingdom is an empire. Yeah? And God hasn't called us to build empires. He's called us to build kingdoms. You see, Mark 12:30 says, and you shall love the Lord God with all your heart. Everyone say heart. With all your soul. With all your mind. And all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love. It doesn't say with some heart. It doesn't say some mind. It says all heart, all mind. I want to break them four down to us today. And bring us, I believe, into some freedom in this place. Because again, I think a lot of times when we look at our heart, we think it's all about, you know, our purpose. Friends, I want to encourage you tonight. If you're going to give God all your heart, it's not just your purpose, it's your passion as well. If I'm going to give him all my heart, then it's not just my purpose in life, it's my passion in life. And I'll tell you what my passion is coffee. I believe caffeine is the fourth part of the Trinity, amen? Am I speaking to someone tonight? You see, we got to realize my passion is coffee. But I'll tell you something. In seeking, giving him all my heart, I'm not going, God, I'm putting coffee first. But God, coffee has to be second, amen? Because if coffee isn't second, God, I don't think I can connect with you first. How many people feel that on a Sunday morning? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and caffeine. But I'm telling you, your passion and your purpose is your heart. Friend, has he got all your heart tonight? Has he got all your passion? Has he got all your passion? You see, I've learning something in my life. If I want to do something, I'll find a way. If I don't, I'll make an excuse. And I'm learning, and Sarah, who's my second Holy Spirit, brings me up on this and says, is that an excuse or is that a commitment you got? Because sometimes I'll say, yes, God, you've got all my passion. I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. in the morning. I'm going to pray. I'm going to give you my all. By 5 past, you're like, We try and give God our all, but yet we noose ourselves and we create the most awkward of situations to try and appease God. Am I speaking to somebody? You see, our soul. If he's got all our soul, then friends, soul is your pleasures and also as well your pain. If you're going to give God all your soul, then it doesn't just come with pleasures, it comes with pain as well. And I want to ask you tonight, has God got all your pain? Has he got all your pain? Well, God, I can't give you that. I can't give you that. I remember in 2008, when my brother took his life, I went into a dark place because I didn't trust God with my pain. Because every time I trusted other people with my pain, it was used against me. I want to encourage you tonight, God doesn't use our pain against us. God uses our pain for us. He gives pain purpose. You know, pain has purpose. The reason you feel pain is because the body knows where to heal. When you feel pain, if you cut yourself and feel pain, it's so that the body knows where to heal. What does the world tell us to do? Just medicate. Just dull it. Just remove pain. But if you didn't feel pain, then you wouldn't know where to heal. Yeah. And so I wonder if we're here tonight and we've medicated, we've removed, we've put aside our pain, and we don't know where we need healing. I feel like tonight God wants to go, hey, I'm not shaming you. I'm not bringing the spotlight. I'm bringing the sunlight, because I want to tell you that's when I want to heal. That's when I want to bring freedom. That's when I want to restore. That's when I want to revive. That's when I want to make whole. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, friends, broken crayons still color. Yeah. Broken crayons still color. Your pain doesn't define you. But God can revive you in the midst of your pain. If you're going to give him all your soul, friend, you've got to give him your... What are them things that you've got to ask? You see, let me say it like this. You know what an idol is? An idol is anything you have to ask permission of before you serve God. An idol is anything that you have to ask permission of or bow down to before you serve God. That's an idol. What is your passion that you've given over to God tonight? God wants your passion. He wants your pain. If you've given him your soul, he wants your pleasure. He wants your pain. If you give him your mind, all your mind is your perspectives and your perceptions. You see, one of the things that I love about this church doesn't tell you what to think. It tells you how to think. Yeah? You see, what to think is religion. How to think is relationship. And if you're going to give him all your strength, friend, that's your plans and your priorities. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. All your care. How many of us in this room tonight are giving God some of our care? How many of us can trust God tonight with some? When he wants them all. Cast all your care. Not some, all. You see, one of the things I'm learning, friends, in my life is I can trust God. Not just with my success. I can trust God with my struggle. And I want to make it known in this house tonight. And friends, I think this is something that we have to change. The stigma of Christianity. That Christianity is not all about success. That it's a place of struggle and it's a place of success. It's the both end. It's the overcoming. But sometimes you're overcome. Sometimes you lose the battle, but he's won the war. Am I speaking to somebody? We have to realize that we don't reach people by our victories. We reach people by our vulnerabilities. And if we realize out of that place that I can truly trust God. And you know, this is the place of trusting him with my heart, trusting him with my soul, trusting him with my mind, and trusting him with my strength. If I'm going to bring my pain to him, friends, I've got to trust him. And I think we have to realize, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Not some, all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. How many people are looking for direction tonight in this place? Yeah? You see, if direction is the fruit, then trust is the seed. If you sow trust, you'll reap direction. Yeah? Can we trust him tonight? You see, I think there's a difference between trust and risk. I think one of the things we've done in church is we've said to people, hey, faith is spelt R-I-S-K. And we wonder why we're dyslexic Christians, yeah? Faith isn't spelled R-I-S-K. It's actually spelled F-A-I-T-H. Did you know that? Wow. It's not spelled R-I-S-K. How many people have heard that saying? Faith is spelled risk. It's not. I think faith isn't risk. Faith is trust. Let me give you an example. When I was a kid, I used to jump up on a table and my dad was there and I would jump into his arms. I was trusting my dad that as I jumped, he would catch me. You see, to risk is to climb up on the table and jump without my father being there. That's risk. But when my father's there, that's trust. I wonder how many of us in this room tonight are doing things outside the Father's presence instead of realizing the Father's there. How many of us are trying to live life not realizing the Father is there to trust? He's not absent, so we have to risk. Yeah. I remember years ago, Sarah and I had this house in America in this incredible place, but one day I got up out of bed and the snow had fallen and there was all these footprints up to the house and away from the house. And we heard on the neighborhood chat, there was a prowler. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I checked every door, every window before I went to bed. I couldn't buy a gun, so I bought a hammer. I didn't have the accent for a license, amen? And so I had to buy a hammer. So I kept a hammer. There's two things. I had a wife next to me who was a QE, and I had a hammer. If the hammer didn't work, the wife would, amen? And so I remember, you know, every night I would go around that house and it'd be like Mission Impossible. I'd check every door, check every window. I'd make sure the hammer was polished and in the drawer, and I'd be waiting. Any noise, I'd grab the hammer. Pork Sarah and say, hey, go check it out. Incredible. Incredible. Then my dad came to visit. And all of a sudden, I remember one night, my dad's like, I'm going to go to bed. I said, yeah, I think we will as well. So my dad went that way to bed, and Sarah went that way, and I followed her. And she said, hun, aren't you going to check the house? And this came out of my mouth. I don't need to. My father's here. Friend, when Father is present, when you can trust him, you don't need to check your house. You don't need to check behind you. You don't need to live in anxiety and fear because a Father is present. Am I speaking to somebody? We know he is present. You see, trust me is all about trusting him with who you are, not what you do. A couple of years ago, Tobias got given Lego. And I remember just sitting there one day and I went over and said to Tobias, hey buddy, how you doing? And he literally was standing like this with something behind his back. And he said, nothing, Dad. And I said, buddy, what have you got? He goes, nothing. And I said, come on now, what have you got? And he just looked at me, he said, nothing. I said, come on, Tobias, what's behind your back? And he pulled it forward and it was an unfinished piece of Lego. And he said, Dad, it's not finished. And I just got down on my knee and I said, buddy, I said, I'm not looking for perfection. I'm here to celebrate progress. I wonder how many people in this room tonight, you're not giving God your all because you think God wants perfection when he just wants to celebrate your progress. God ain't looking for perfection. He's just looking for progress. That we can trust him with our progress. And trusting him with our progress is not just about our successes, it's about our struggles. Friends, I wonder, why do we allow our successes to be relational, but our struggles to be religious? Why do we allow our successes, hey, I'm going great, God's good, God's amazing, and then we begin to struggle, and we turn religious. I've got to pray more. I've got to give more. I've got to get to church more. I've got to do. When it comes to successes, we're all about the being. But when it comes to struggles, we're all about the doing. And I think what happens is we undo the grace of God in our lives because we present our hands when God wants our heart. Yeah? David saw this in Psalm 23. It's amazing in Psalm 23, David begins the psalm in a success place, but he's not talking to God, he's talking about God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, he restores my soul. But then he says, though I've walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Do you notice how he switches from talking about God to start talking to God? I wonder tonight, can we trust him enough with our struggle to actually talk to him, not about him? Can we come to him and trust him with that area of our life? Can we trust him with that place of struggle? I remember in 2018, I hit the wall royally. Absolutely hit the wall. Everything around me was going great, but inside, I was just functioning. And I remember a dear pastor in my life said, "Gary, I want you to cancel everything except SOP." And I'm like, I am ready to cancel everything. I'm ready to just give up on life. And this is what he said to me. He said, "Gary, everything that comes to you will take life, but everything that was birthed from you will give life." SOP was birthed from you. All these conferences and meetings, they come to you. Cancel them all. And I remember driving home that night, and I was just done. I was weeping. I was beside myself, and I was on the Monash in Melbourne. And if you know the Monash, that's depressing in itself. And I remember just driving, and only twice I've ever heard God audibly. And this was the second time I felt Jesus come into the seat and say these two words, "Trust me." And the next thing I remember, I'm in front of my garage. Friends, that next day, because I didn't present God with my success, I presented God with my struggle. Everything changed because God had my all. He didn't just have my purpose, he had my pain. I didn't just come to him with, "Hey, look at the polish, God, look at the polish." No, look at the struggle. Look where I'm at. And God met me there. Friend, tonight God wants to meet you. Yeah. Not in the polished. But do you trust him tonight to meet you in the pain? Do you trust him tonight to meet you where it's broken? Do you trust him to meet you where you're disappointed? Do you trust him to meet you where you're disillusioned? Do you feel you can trust him tonight? Not just with some, but with your all. Can you trust him tonight? Not with your perfection, but with your progress. Just like my son Tobias, he was afraid because he thought I wanted perfection, but all I wanted to do was celebrate progress. Can we bring our hands from behind our back tonight and say, "Jesus, here's my all. Jesus, here's my pain. Here's my problems. Here's my struggles. Here's where I've missed it. Here's where I'm missing it. God, I trust you tonight." I remember years ago being in a place, 2008. I wish I could tell you tonight it was a Hillsong song. It was a Vineyard song that brought breakthrough to my life in 2008 when my brother took his life. But it was actually the Baywatch theme tune. And I'm sitting there, just come in from town. I'm sitting there. And my sister decides to put on Baywatch. Last thing I wanted to see. Why the heck do you want to watch David Hasselhoff running, with a body like a Greek god? And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden the theme song comes on. And do you know what the opening line of that theme song is? "Some people stand in the darkness, afraid to step into the light. But some people need to help somebody when they can't see the end in sight. Don't you worry, it's going to be okay, because I'm always ready. I won't let you out of my sight." Friend, I sat there being ministered to God through flipping Baywatch. I wonder tonight, friends, you could be ministered to through a crazy Welshman who's come down from the Sunshine Coast. Because I want to tell you, you don't need to be afraid to step into the light. Because the light that God has isn't a spotlight of shame. It's a sunlight of freedom. It is an S-O-N light that brings you into freedom, brings you into a place of breakthrough. I wonder if the team could come up tonight. Friends, I want to encourage you. Trusting God does not mean believing He will do what you want, but rather believing He will do anything and everything He knows that is good in your life. Faith is not believing in my own unshakable belief. Faith is believing an unshakable God when everything seems to be shaking around me. Seeds of faith are always within us. Sometimes it takes a crisis to nourish and encourage their growth. Friend, pain could be at the forefront, but guys, tonight God wants to bring joy. And I felt tonight in this place that there's a decision God wants us to make. And it's not a decision of faith. It's not a decision whether I believe God. I want to encourage you tonight. Some of us in this place, you're not in a crisis of faith. I think you're in a places of a crisis of identity. Faith isn't the issue. You believe God. My challenge tonight is do you believe that He is able? Do you believe that you can trust Him tonight, not just with your success, but with your struggle? That tonight could be a night of freedom. That tonight is a night, a decider, that you can say, God, I'm not just trusting You. I'm not just doing this tonight. But I'm doing this. I'm not giving You some. I'm not giving You 98% success and keeping my 2% of struggle. I'm giving You all. But before we get to a ministry time, I know there might be someone in this room tonight that it's not just trusting God with your struggle. It's not just trusting God with your success, is trusting God with eternity. And you might have been brought tonight, and something I'm saying is speaking to your heart. I've never trusted anyone, but I can trust God. Friends, I'd love every head bowed and every eye closed. If you come here tonight, friend, and you've never been able to trust anyone, even to the point that if you left here tonight, you couldn't fully trust where you'd spend eternity. Friend, I want to invite you tonight to trust God. Men will fail you, women will fail you, but God will never fail because love never fails. And as I'm speaking, your heart is pounding and you know God is speaking to you. Friend, if that's you tonight and you're in this place and you know you need to put your trust in God when it comes to eternity, friend, I'm just asking you to put your hand up. I want to pray for you tonight. Just put your hand up. I want to pray for you. If that's you, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You can trust God. Wow. I'm just going to ask one more time. Can you trust God tonight with eternity? God bless you. I see the hand. Why don't we pray this prayer together? Say, Dear Jesus, come into my heart. Change my life. I'm sorry for the things that separated us. But thank you that salvation is a free gift that I receive tonight. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen.
We hope this message encouraged or perhaps even challenged you in your Christian faith. Our pastors meet regularly with people to pray and support them, and we extend this invitation to you. Please let us know if we can contact you to offer support. Simply call the office or visit nexuschurch.com.au.